Okay, so get ready because today we're diving into England's Industrial Revolution. Picture it, the countryside, once peaceful and quiet, now taken over by these, well, these massive factories. But, our deep dive today isn't about like the inventions themselves. It's about the people. The people who lived through it all, especially, well, we're focusing on one family, the Farndales, and how their story unfolded amidst, those
Those dark satanic mills, right?
exactly, those dark satanic mills. So we're talking like late
That'd be
1800s,
it.
Bradford, a town just overflowing with textile mills. What was it like for a family like the Farndales to navigate this whole new world?
Well, you see, we often get caught up in the the enormity of the Industrial Revolution, the factories, the inventions. But the Farndales, their story, it reminds us that history is made up of, individual stories, each one shaped by those huge
It's big
changes.
zooming in from those massive changes to street level, even closer to the kitchen table where families like the Farndales were making these like life-altering
Huge
decisions.
decisions, yeah.
Decisions like sending their kids to work in those mills.
And that's what the real story is, isn't it? We've got census records, church registers, even old newspaper clippings that paint a picture of the Farndales and their journey through all these different industries.
So let's follow their journey, starting in Bradford. Now, I know England's population was booming then, more people to clothe, but what made those mills so appealing, yet so intimidating at the same time?
Okay, so imagine this. You're used to that quiet life on the farm, maybe spinning wool at home, and suddenly these huge factories appear, promising steady work and wages. That was a big draw for families just trying to get by.
But then there's that whole dark satanic mills image. There had to be downsides.
Oh, absolutely. Work was grueling, dangerous even, long hours, unsafe conditions.
It was a trade-off then.
Definitely a double-edged sword. A chance for a better life, but often at a big cost.
And that's where John and Catherine Farndale come in, right?
John was a groom, taking care of horses, a decent living then, but imagine trying to support a family on that as cities grew.
And prices went up.
Their children, though, they were drawn to the mills, enticed by the thought of earning wages.
Wages that might have meant the difference between like eating and going hungry.
It's easy to judge now, but back then, survival was the priority.
And those mills were like magnets for families like the
I like
Farndales.
magnets,
So tell me about their daughter, Annie.
Okay, so Annie, she got a job as a worsted drawer,
Worsted drawer.
which basically meant she checked the fabric for any problems. It was a skilled job, actually.
Skilled, and I bet those sharp eyes were valuable.
Oh, yeah.
A young woman earning a decent living in those days, that's impressive.
It really is. And it shows that even in those tough factory conditions, there were levels of skill and pay that could, offer a bit of opportunity. But unfortunately, not all the Farndale children were that lucky.
Okay, this is where it gets even more interesting.
It does. Tell me more. So we have 15-year-old John and 13-year-old James also ending up in the mills as worsted spinners.
Worsted spinners. Okay, hold on. What exactly did a worsted spinner do? I mean, I think of those old spinning wheels, but this is a whole different world, wasn't it?
Completely different. We're talking about machines now.
Okay.
The spinning jenny, the spinning frame. Imagine the noise, the heat, as these things spun wool into yarn so fast. The spinners, like young John and James, they fed the machines, fixed broken threads, all while breathing in dust and fiber.
I can only imagine how loud it must have been.
Oh, it was deafening. And you know those families who used to spin wool at home, the cottage industries? They couldn't compete. Factories were so much faster, so much more efficient. It put a lot of them out of business and forced them to find work in, well, in the very factories that had taken their livelihoods.
So families like the Farndales were practically pushed into these mills by the very technology that promised so much progress.
It's a strange twist of fate.
It really is.
The Industrial Revolution brought amazing innovation, but it came with a big human cost. And the Farndales, their story really highlights that. But their story doesn't end in the mills of Bradford.
Oh, I bet it doesn't. Where do we go next? It's incredible to think about, one family experiencing so much change, but it makes you wonder, was everyone working in these big factories? What about like those traditional crafts, the ones that had been around forever? The Industrial Revolution must have impacted them too, right?
Absolutely. And the Farndales, well, their story actually gives us a firsthand look at those changes.
Really?
Yeah, we're leaving those Bradford mills now and heading to Leeds, a city where, well, where a different kind of industry thrived.
Okay, I'm listening. Late 19th century Leeds. What's the big industry now?
Shoes. With cities like Leeds growing so fast, everyone needed shoes.
Right, people weren't walking around barefoot anymore.
Exactly. And those cobblestone streets, not exactly kind to your feet, or to poorly made shoes for that matter.
You'd need some sturdy boots to handle those streets. So were the Farndales like cranking out shoes in some giant factory?
Not quite. See, we meet another part of the Farndale family here, and their story centers around John Farndale, a cordwainer.
Cordwainer. Now there's a word you don't hear every day. What did a cordwainer do?
Think of a cordwainer as, well, a master shoemaker. They made shoes by hand, every single step, using techniques passed down for, like, generations. High quality, long-lasting shoes, exactly what you needed in a busy industrial city.
A true craftsman. So John's in his workshop, surrounded by leather, but wait, this is the Industrial Revolution. What's the catch?
You know it. Machines, they were changing everything. Just like with textiles, machines started to take over shoemaking too. Suddenly there are factories churning out shoes faster than any craftsman ever could.
There it is again. Progress and disruption all rolled into one.
So, did John embrace these new machines? Or did he stick to his traditional ways?
Records show John, stubborn as ever, he kept running his workshop, proud of his craft. But his son, he represents the changing times.
Oh, so.
He became a boot riveter in one of those factories.
Wow, so instead of learning how to make a shoe from scratch, he's now doing one task over and over. It's a shame, in a way, to think about those skills disappearing.
It is a loss, definitely. But it's also a reminder that factory work, for all its problems, it gave a steady income to a lot of families who might have really struggled otherwise.
Always two sides to every story.
Exactly.
And this branch of the Farndales, well, their story takes a sad turn.
It does. The records show that this branch suffered several tragedies.
Oh, no.
Infant mortality, it was a harsh reality back then. It makes you think about the other side of progress, the human cost. Poor living conditions, disease, these weren't just things people read about, they lived it every day. It's easy to forget that every name in those history books, it's a life with its own joys and sorrows.
Exactly. And the Farndale family, their story reminds us to look past the factories and inventions and see the people, the families, dealing with the impact of it all.
From skilled craftsmen to factory workers, the Farndales' lives really show us those big social and economic changes. But I have a feeling their story's not over yet. Where to next? From those bustling shoe workshops of Leeds to those textile mills of Bradford, we've really seen how the Farndale family navigated those early years of the Industrial Revolution. But I have a feeling this story doesn't end there.
It doesn't. Their journey takes us north to Stockton and Hartlepool,
Oh, yes.
where the Industrial Revolution was creating a whole new world, a world of iron and coal and shipbuilding.
So we're in a whole different landscape now. What was life like for the Farndales in this new setting? Were they like out there building those massive ships?
Well, not exactly building them, but their lives were definitely caught up in those industries.
Yeah.
We find Farndales working all sorts of jobs. Laborers in the ironworks, clerks keeping track of all that booming trade, even a grocer, you know, feeding those families who flocked to these industrial centers.
So a real mix of experiences. I imagine some, like those climps, they might have had it a bit easier than those working in the mills or the shipyards.
You could say that those clerk positions were seen as a step up, less physically demanding. But let's not get carried away. We're still talking long hours, often cramped living conditions, and that constant threat of illness or injury.
Right, the pollution alone in those factories and shipyards is
Yeah.
like where there's smoke, there's industry, but also, well, where there's smoke, there's bound to be health problems.
Sadly, that's true. The human costs, it's a constant theme, isn't it?
It is.
But even in those difficult times, we see these glimmers of hope, resilience, sometimes even incredible success.
Okay, now I need to hear about these success stories. Tell me about a Farndale who beat the odds.
Remember young James Arthur Farndale? The one we met back in Bradford, working as a worsted spinner when he was just 13.
Yeah. The kid who practically grew up in those noisy mills. What happened to him?
Get this. James Arthur Farndale, that former child laborer, he worked his way up to become a mill manager. In Saltaire, no less.
Wait, seriously, From child laborer to manager, that's amazing, especially back then. How do you manage that?
It's a story of hard work and determination, that's for sure. But there's another piece to this puzzle. Saltaire. It wasn't your average factory town, you see.
Ah, Saltaire, the model village. Wasn't that the place built by that mill owner, Titus Salt, the one who tried to create like a utopian community for his workers?
Exactly. And James Arthur Farndale, he found himself working at Salt's mill. It was known for its, well, relatively humane conditions. Shorter hours, better pay, even health care and schools for the workers and their families.
Wow, that does sound like a completely different world compared to those dark, satanic mills. But was it really all that great? Was Titus Salt really a reformer? Or was it just a way to keep his workers, you know, happy and productive?
It's a question that's still debated today.
Really?
Yeah, some say Salt was just trying to, well, control his workers more effectively, while others believe he genuinely wanted to improve their lives.
Hmm, fascinating.
Whatever his reasons, Saltaire, it shows us that even during the Industrial Revolution, there were people who tried to do things differently.
And it's incredible to think that James Arthur's success, it was tied to this whole experiment in, you know, creating a better kind of factory system.
Exactly. It highlights how individual lives were shaped not only by their own choices, but by the bigger forces at play, by those in power, by the ideas that, well, that shaped those times.
But not every Farndale was as fortunate as James Arthur.
Sadly, no.
Some must have struggled, even with all this progress happening around them.
That's the truth. And those stories are just as important to remember, like Robert Farndale, for example. His story is a stark reminder that the promise of opportunity, it didn't always pan out. He ended up in debtor's prison.
It's tragic.
It is.
One family, their lives scattered across different industries and places, their fates as varied as machines they worked with.
That's the Industrial Revolution for you, full of contradictions, innovation and hardship, resilience and loss.
It makes you think, you know, if we were suddenly thrown back in time, faced with those same choices,
right,
what would we do?
It's a question worth pondering.
It really is. Thanks for taking us on this deep dive. Until next time.
Anytime.